This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhart, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevrolet, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevrolet, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
New Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots, he scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen.
Tarasenko in the clear, he scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of Blues NHL Podcast, your St. Louis Blues fan podcast. Hope you guys are having a great Monday morning. I'm running full bore on coffee here, so gonna fly this thing solo here today. My McKendry coach counterparts are out on official business, if you will, for their McKendry hockey program. I guess coaching college hockey is a little more involved than I would give them guys credit for. I'm just joking, of course. Everybody knows those guys are the real deal, and they do a great job, and I'm very proud to have them both a part of this show. But I'm going to run it solo here today, but solo only for a few moments, as it won't be long here. We'll hear from Jamie Rivers and get his take on a long weekend where we found our Blues 1-1 on home ice. Finally, we lost our first tilt at home in a Thursday night game that seemed a little uninspired play-wise. I know sometimes teams just have an off night. I know some fans thought it was a fairly uninspired event, but they followed that up with a really nice effort on Saturday night at home against a good Toronto Maple Leaf team with some nice young talent. And again, the defense getting it done, and I'm anxious to hear from Jamie and get his take on this just really unprecedented explosion from our Blues defense, led by the captain, Alex Pietrangelo. But you can't discount the fact that Joel Edmondson has definitely brought his A game to this 2017-18 season. So it's been really good to see. I'm excited about this Blues team. I've been a fan as long as I can remember, probably like most of you, and you know, it's funny, we talked last week about some of these things, and we kind of gave it to Butter pretty good on air about a couple of things he said, but the reality of it is a lot of us have seen a lot of good play from Blues teams over the years, and, you know, we want to feel our place in that Stanley Cup final, and obviously we want to win the Stanley Cup. I've always said, it'd be amazing if we could just get there and then see what happens, but it'd be like anything else, I'm sure. If we made it there and didn't win, it would suck, but getting there is better than nothing, because it is an amazing tournament, I guess, if that's what you want to call it, postseason, to win, because it's like no other. Right? What it takes, it takes a lot. It takes a little luck, takes a ton of skill, takes a lot of heart, a lot of energy. You know, we talked a little bit about how a goaltender can just change a whole series, change a whole playoff, really, at the end of the day. So hopefully the Blues have found their man. He sure seems to be capable of carrying the load. I guess we'll see. As Butter said, he wants to see it done in the playoffs, and I'm with him. So hopefully we're going to get that this year. But got a great show for you today. Like I said, we're going to hear from Jamie Rivers here in a few minutes. Then, of course, we're going to hear from Angela Sharp. Go to Dennis Minner live from Minner Arena, and, of course, the St. Louis Game Time Report from Brad Lee, the wonderful rag that they put out in front of Scott Trade Center. We know you guys love that thing so much, and just proud to have all those guys a part of the show. Before we get to Jamie, I want to remind everybody to check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. It's where you can listen to the current shows, back episodes. Easiest thing you can do there, though, is subscribe to the show. It's absolutely free. When the show is released, it'll be ready to go on your phone, and doesn't cost a thing, and just kind of let you know, hey, show's out, ready to go. You can listen to it at your leisure. Check us out on our social media pages at STL Blues Podcast. We also run at NHL Show. That's our Twitter handles. You can find us on Facebook, Blues NHL Podcast, and you can find us on Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast Show. Our ask there is that you follow all of our social media sites. When you see the show, if you guys would share it, we'd greatly appreciate it in an effort to reach all your friends that are Blues fans. If you wouldn't mind, if you like our Facebook page, our ask is that you'd invite all your Blues friends to like it as well. It's a very simple thing to do. You just go to Blues NHL Podcast on Facebook, click invite friends, and then you can go right through your list and invite all your Blues fans that are friends. And we would greatly appreciate it, just in an effort, again, to reach all your friends that are Blues fans as well, because we do appreciate you guys and your support of the show. I want to thank all the great Facebook support that we do get from some of the best Facebook groups here in St. Louis. There's a ton of them that do a great job and allow us to post on their sites. We've got some that actually that do it for us because they really believe in the show, and I want to send a shout-out to those guys and ask you to check them out. Arch City Sports, guy does a tremendous job. He's, you know, friend of Jamie's, and just really in tune with all the sports in St. Louis, and we do appreciate them greatly. St. Louis Blues Hockey Memes, you guys are familiar with that one, a friend of ours there, and very supportive of the show and loves being a part of it, and we can't thank them enough. St. Louis Blues Fans Nation, another great Facebook page, and we do appreciate them. And, of course, St. Louis Blues Fans Unite, another of the great Facebook groups. They all do a tremendous job, and there's so many more out there, and there's others that we really, really enjoy just being a part of and can't thank them enough. I've got so many people that contact us, whether it be through Facebook, Twitter, whatever it may be, and they do. They enjoy the information. They enjoy the talk. They enjoy the conversation. So thanks again to all those supportive networks. And make sure you check them out. It'd be really advantageous on your part if you want to stay in tune with what's going on with Blues Nation. Special thanks to LineupMedia.fm, the fastest-growing podcast company on the planet. They've got many podcasts that I think you guys would like. The numbers tell us that you guys are probably listening to about 6 podcasts. I guarantee you'll find one at LineupMedia.fm that's worth your entertainment time. They take your entertainment time very seriously. Make sure you check them out and share it around. The world's changing. We just don't listen to radio like we used to. It's changing to podcasting, and that's fine with us, and we're happy to be a part of that growth, and we hope you guys enjoy what we're doing here. You can check out, you know, many different shows. The Drop is a great Blues podcast. He does a recap of all the Blues games, and very dedicated, and gives you, a good kind of conclusion on what went down for our Blues, and gives you an opportunity to look at it and kind of talk about it a little bit. If you're a Cardinal fan, you can follow Two Birds on a Bat, the podcast that I do with Benji Molina, Yachty's brother, and Steve Flowers. A little Cardinal insight from a former big leaguer and World Series champ, brother to Yachty, and can kind of, you know, give us some information sometimes on some things that maybe we don't quite get or understand, and maybe give us that player's perspective. And that's what we have on this show, that we're very fortunate each week to have Darren Kimble and Jamie Rivers sit in studio on Thursdays and on Mondays. Like I said, we typically have the coaches with us from McKendree, and we kind of break down some Blues action. But as usual, and you can hear that intro music playing as we speak, it's time now to go to the one, the only, Jamie Rivers. Good morning, Mr. Rivers. How are you today?
Good, Jimmy. How you doing?
Well, first off, my thoughts have been with your family since last Thursday when obviously we had mentioned on the air that you weren't going to be with us, as you guys were, and I say this sincerely, you guys were going to lose a member of your family, and that's what pets become. And then you had sent a tweet out letting, kind of telling people, you know, about your loss, and it was amazing the support you got from all Blues fans and fans of the show and fans of yours from over the years. You know, it's got to make you feel good to know you're part of a great community that understands and just can feel that with you a little bit. How's the family doing?
Everybody's doing pretty good. You know, we were fortunate to get 12 great years out of him, and you know, he's such an awesome dog. I mean, you have those dogs and they're just massive, and to have 4 kids that grew up literally treating him like, you know, their own personal amusement park, that climbed on him and dressed him up for Halloween and did all sorts of craziness to him. And the dog couldn't have been more devoted to the kids and to the family. So it was a tough family meeting on Wednesday night, and certainly Thursday morning was difficult. But you know, we got through it, and like you said, the fans or the people around me showed unbelievable support. Everybody in life has an animal or a pet or something that they've lost like that, and so people understanding and offering support was huge and much appreciated by the entire Rivers family.
Will there be another pet, or are your kids at that age where it's time to maybe not go through that again?
No, oddly enough, I mean, we had two of them.
Oh, okay.
You know, we're suckers for punishment, so we had two moving love seats around the house here, the big dogs, and you know, they think they're human, so every time you go to sit down or lay in bed, one of them is in the way. So the other one that's going to stay, that is, you know, only six and remaining with the family, she's a little lost right now. I think she's trying to figure things out, but she's awesome, so we've got her. We're not going to, you know, try to go and add another one here. We're going to enjoy what we got and try to just make that one feel extra special.
Yeah, I was saying that it's kind of odd. I guess I'm at that age where, like, a lot of my friends had bought dogs about that same time, and sometimes it revolves around when you have kids and stuff like that. And I've had so many friends go through this, it seems like, in the last 6 months. It is an amazing thing that what pets can become to the family. So, buddy, I said, you were in our thoughts and prayers and your family, and I know it's not an easy thing to go through, so... you know, like I said, you got great years out of that dog, and you know, hopefully your family's gonna be okay here.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. The Rivers crew is pretty resilient, and I think we're gonna be okay. So much appreciated.
Well, we missed you on Thursday. We had you know, obviously things have been going well for our Blues, and you know, I'm gonna get in trouble here. I've already in trouble by some fans because Gary did it to me. It was his fault. He knows how I think, and he brought it up on the show that, you know, I always look at certain games as trap games, and he said it, and I wasn't even going to say it because I didn't want to jinx him, and, you know, I just told him, I said, this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is a team that you think they're coming into your building, you should handle your business, and it seemed fans are under the impression it was a little bit of an uninspired effort. Maybe we were looking past it, and then we come back on Saturday, though, against a good Toronto team and handle our business. I wanted to ask you, in your opinion, and you obviously played, you know, so many games, you probably can't remember them all. Is a trap game a real thing?
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, no matter what you say about it, no matter how many times you could tell yourself this is a huge game, this and that, sometimes, you know, subconsciously, you're not really, I don't want to say you're not motivated, because you are. But you're thinking things might be just a little bit easier than they really are or are going to be. And so you get out on the ice and you're thinking, okay, like, this would be a great night for us to go and get some goals, get some points, play well, get a lot of ice time. And then things start to go bad. Now, not horrible, but just passes are getting picked off. Shots aren't getting through. You know, guys are getting behind you. And then you start to think to yourself, oh my God, things are, you know, shit is flowing downhill right now, and I got to get my bearings. And then what happens then is now you're starting to play tight, and you're gripping the stick, and you can't figure out why things are going so difficult. And that's when, you know, you're in a bit of a pickle at that point. So I think the Blues, look, they've been playing fantastic for the entire season so far. It wasn't like the Flyers came in and mopped the floor with them. You know, they came in and they squeaked out a 2-0 victory that, yes, the Blues and fans and everybody involved in St. Louis would like back, but we need to just get past it. We're going to have those games throughout a long season, and we're going to have those games in January when the season gets a little long in the tooth. So, you know, if you can learn from something like that early in the season, maybe we don't have as many mid-season or around game 60. You know, so it looks like they regrouped accordingly. Whatever needed to be addressed certainly got addressed, and as we're going to talk about it here right now, came out and played a pretty inspirational offensive game against the Maple Leafs.
And led by the defense, this is becoming a you know, I'd say we're at a stage now in the season where it's more than just, you know, a blip. I mean, this is really something that obviously they're focusing on and you know, getting shots in that, doing things. But, you know, when you say that, it's one thing if it's bombs from the point that are banking off guys or screen goaltenders. But, man, that goal by the captain Saturday night is just about as good as you're going to see.
Well, yeah, that was – I don't want to say it was funny.
Well, it was.
But it was because, you know, that's a goal you expect out of some of the most skilled guys in the league to be dropping that, like the Kucherovs, the Ovechkins. I mean, even, you know, Erik Karlsson, who's much more offensive-minded than our captain is. However, it's still a sign of, and we've talked about it, Alex Pietrangelo putting in extra time this summer and working on some skills and working on handling the puck and shooting. And, you know, we're seeing that pay dividends right now. And one thing we can't overlook through all of this, as well as, you know, Joel Edmondson scoring a goal where he's down in the middle of the play where he should never be, you know, theoretically. But this is because Mike Yeo has been holding the group of five on the ice, holding them accountable by playing good defense. And what I mean by that is, in the offensive zone, if you have a high forward or a new age day or new age game, you call it the F3, up high. This allows your defense, one of them at least, to get a little adventurous and get down into the play. Why? Because they know they have a guy backing them up. So worst case scenario, if there's a turnover or something goes wrong, you at least have a forward and a defenseman back there to guard the house. And by having a religious F3, it lets these guys roam a little bit. And when they roam, it's very difficult to cover because most defensive schemes in the defensive zone are set to where, you know, you got your D on forwards on D, but then when the D become forwards, who's got them, right? Like, you've got to move, and it disrupts everything. So even if the D don't get the puck, it opens up things offensively possibly for someone else. Right now, the D are getting the puck. Teams aren't figuring out that they're sending the guys off the blue line, and or Pietrangelo and Edmondson and all the other guys are doing a great job of finding the perfect time to do it. So overall, when you take everything into consideration, this is a great scheme by the Blues, being able to be done because they have the guys in the right place, and now they have guys that are willing to do it. So I'm loving it. It creates real exciting hockey. And certainly adds a dimension to this team that we haven't had in a really long time.
I mean, it's been amazing to watch it. You know, it's funny, I was watching that goal by Pietrangelo, and I know that, like, you know, you typically think, okay, you know, defensemen, well, they defend, right? And then, you know, you get the guys that run through town that we've had some great offensive-minded defensemen over the years and guys that were great two-way players. And it made me think, you know, most people, again, they look at defensemen and say, well, their number one job is what? Well, defend. So it's funny, I sat in on a speech a couple years ago with the Hall of Fame baseball player John Smoltz, and he was telling stories, and he said that he used to constantly remind Chipper Jones, you need to remember that I could do what you could do, but you couldn't do what I could do. That's why I pitch, okay? I think defensemen in the NHL are the same way. My guess is that all you guys at one time probably were the best forwards on your team, but I heard a guy one time say, I play defense, pal, because I can skate backwards and you couldn't. So, but I could do what you could do. So, you know, that, you know, it's like you always say on here, you always remind people that Kimble used to score 30, 40 goals in juniors, but he could fight and take care of protecting his team and do the things that needed to be done. Same thing with defensemen, I think. They can play. They got some offensive skill, but, you know, they sit a little bit further away from the net typically than the average player.
Well, yeah, you know, and here's the thing is that the evolution of the game, or if you want to call it like the game has come full circle almost, because in the late 70s, early 80s, and throughout the 80s, you had guys, you know, Bobby Orr, Ray Bourque, Paul Coffey, Phil Housley, you know, even Al MacInnis, and, you know, all these guys that came into the league and were really strong offensively. Then somewhere mid-90s, the NHL went to, you know, 6'4" and above defensemen that did nothing but hook, hold, hit, and put the puck off the glass to get it out to the forwards. Then the game evolved, hopefully for good, And now the offensive mind, or the mobile defenseman, is now back in a position of power. And you're right. You know, I played forward as a young player in growing up in Ottawa, and we had three lines and four defensemen. And my dad told me the 1 year we started, he said, "You're going to play D this year." I said, "Dad, I want to score goals." You know, he's like, "Well, who says you're not allowed?" And it kind of rang true to me, and I was like, "Huh." And the kicker on that was that we only had, like I said, four defensemen. So I was getting on the ice twice as much. And so, therefore, I was touching the puck twice as much. And I was going with it twice as much. So, you know, long story short, like you said, I could skate backwards and play defense, but I could also go score goals. And that carried me through minor hockey and through junior hockey, where I was blessed to play some pretty good hockey up north in Sudbury and get to the NHL. And then certainly styles change when you get to where you're being paid money to do a job. But, yeah, you know, nowadays these guys are focusing on being able to move the puck and skate and be a part of the offense. So it makes guys very well-rounded and very dangerous from all angles.
You know, we're obviously talking about the captain here, but, you know, we can't have these conversations without talking about just the overall game and the progression of Joel Edmundson. I mean, his game's getting pretty complete, would you say?
Well, yeah. You know, he came in, and Joel Edmundson's starting to play like the player that he was in junior hockey, the guy that got drafted to the Blues. And he went to the minors and had to refine his game a little bit and then made his NHL debut, or his start as, you know, the solid defensive kind of defenseman. And now you're seeing a guy that is getting comfortable out there. And that's why he's added this little offense to his game, which he's always had. But now he's able to do it because, one, the coaches are trusting him, and two, he's getting more ice time, and three, he's being successful. So, you know, sky's the limit for this guy. Like, he's never going to be, your top offensive point getter on D, but it sure is nice to have a guy who can play some shutdown minutes against the other team. And then when there's turnovers or transition involved, he's able to jump into the play and make a difference. Whether being a decoy, a passer, or a goal scorer, he adds more to that group of five that's on the ice, and therefore makes it harder on the opposition night in and night out. So, yeah, you know, I really like what I'm seeing out of him, and he's showing a lot of leadership too. You know, he doesn't take any days off by the fact that he's always working at practice, he's always working in the games. A solid teammate, well-liked in the room. So, yeah, the stock for Joel Edmundson is certainly on the rise right now.
You know, fans liked him early. He played with a little edge. You know, you like that. And then, man, you start thinking, okay, Edmundson, you know, good playing well defensively, got that edge to him, and then you start popping in goals, and it's like, holy moly, we got it going on here. So, again, I'm just really impressed with the whole core. I mean, I'm Vince Dunn, obviously, has been steady Eddie for a young guy to play at that level has been great. And, you know, just across the board. I mean, you know, Parayko, I know we all would like him to, you know, I mean, you hear that all the time from people. Boy, I wish he'd, you know, use that bomb of his more. And, you know, I don't know if that's a legitimate gripe. Would you say that's a legitimate gripe from Blues fans? They'd like to see him shoot the puck more they saw the 104 mile an hour slap shot. And is that a legitimate gripe?
Well, it is. But what everybody has to understand is that other teams, they're not stupid, and they have, internet access to stuff. They know he's got a hard shot, so they're going to limit his time and space. And they're doing a pretty good job of getting a stick in the lane to where if he tries to rip the bomb, it's going to end up either a turnover or a giveaway. And so he's trying to be smart by moving the puck around the coverage or away from sticks in the lanes. Now, could he move his body a little bit more to find a shooting lane? Well, he can, for sure. But now that's going to come with maturity. And I'm going to compare here to Brent Burns with San Jose. Brent Burns, it took him, gosh, 5-6 years of playing defense to figure it all out. And he's very comparable in size, speed, and shot to Colton Parayko. And if you watch him now, he does an unbelievable job of getting pucks through to the net. He changes the puck, or changes the shooting lane. He moves his body, moves the puck. you know, uses his smarts, uses the guys around him. So my point is that 5 or 6 years it took this guy who's a Norris Trophy winner and an Olympian and, you know, all the above, it took him that long to, you know, kind of polish up his game to get to where he is. So a kid like Colton Parayko, who is very much the same as Brent Burns, you know, he's still early in his career. He's going to get there. And the more time he's on the ice with the more teaching and as he feels more comfortable, he will be that guy. So I'm not disappointed in what he's doing. I think he's doing great. I really can't tell you how happy I am. The rest of the D Corps has stepped up and they're doing all their jobs properly so that it doesn't put extra pressure onto this young guy who's still trying to polish up his game. So the whole combination of it right now is setting up for the Blues to have a really, really solid D Corps for a lot of years.
Yeah, that'd be a, you know, if you were going to tell me he was going to, you know, play like Burnsy round the clock, I'd take that. I think most fans would. And again, I, you know, the other thing I don't know that a lot of people understand too is typically if you're going to shoot with that type of velocity, it takes just a smidge longer to shoot it than most people because you're getting a lot into it. And to your point, sometimes those turn into two-on-ones the other way or two-on-ohs the other way. And I think we're trying to make sure that that stuff doesn't happen as well. So, again, it's, hey, listen, no complaints here. I mean, what do we have to complain about today? You know, the only complaint we get from Blues fans right now is that we haven't gotten a Jamie's Pissed in a while.
Yeah, I know, right? No, there's really not much to be pissed about. And you know, you know me well enough by now, Chrome's like, I just don't fake pissed, right? And so that's a plus and a minus because when I'm pissed, I can't control myself either. I can't bite my tongue. I can't stop. So it's not good that way. But it's also, you know, in the other sense of it is I don't just go looking for things to be pissed about. And right now, you know, the Blues are doing a great job of playing the games. And even if they're not winning, they're still advancing as far as their progression goes. You know, there's really nothing to be pissed about right now. And hopefully it stays that way.
Well, we jet out to New Jersey for a quick game and then back home. Are you surprised at the start by the Devils? Just to be honest with you, when I pulled up the game to check it out, I was really surprised to see them sitting at 9-3-1.
Yeah, you know, they've done a real good job of kind of restocking the cupboards over there and Ray Shiro coming in and pulling the trigger to get Taylor Hall and certainly Corey Schneider and Nets, and then fortunate enough to get the first overall pick, and that kid's playing fantastic right now. Yeah, I don't think anybody thought he'd have the impact that he's having, but you know, I think he's sitting second in team scoring right behind Taylor Hall, and you know, that's a great thing because for years the Devils were not accused of; they just were simply more defensive minded. Period. And now they've got a couple of high-flying guys out there that are making it very difficult on other teams. So it's a team that's done real good. They got a good young coach, and it looks like they're causing some headaches over there in the East.
Yeah, because again, I'm not quite sure that most people thought that they were going to be, you know, a team to be reckoned with at this juncture. So good for them, you know. Although I think most Blues fans don't have a very soft spot in their heart for New Jersey after the Scott Stevens incident, but that's something that we'll just let lie with the fishes, so to speak. But well, Jamie, we appreciate you as like I said, you come on each week on, you know, you're here in studio on Thursdays and then you join us on Mondays, and we know how busy you are. Your segment, of course, is brought to you by Synergy Hockey and all the work that you do. With you not being here Thursday, had an opportunity to kind of get an honest assessment from our coaches from McHenry, Gary Henson and Butter. And again, the thing I think they keyed on the most is, you know, you do not have to be a professional prospect for Synergy Hockey to be for you. We had pulled up a picture, and just there's a picture online of one. I guess I'm assuming it was a camp of yours or a school, but there's literally, it looks like 1,000 kids in this picture, all with your Synergy Hockey jerseys on. And you can guarantee you that you had skill levels of all types in there, but the main thing was you could really tell that everybody in there was having fun.
Yeah, you know, look, here's the truth of the matter, and I try to tell everybody this that will listen, is that your hockey player, your young player, the odds are greater, are 10 times greater that they're not going to go play at a high level. But that doesn't mean that you can't improve and play really great at whatever level you're at. And it's just like anything else. Like at school, they want you to write better sentences, better punctuation, use capital letters and things like this, right? Well, there's no different when you apply that to hockey. Why shouldn't you be doing the skills the right way? Why shouldn't you be learning how to do bigger, better skills, no matter what your level is? So we treat every kid, we have different goals for each kid that are set. And, you know, we do have a nice amount of guys or players that are playing at extremely high levels. But, you know, that's certainly not what we're all about. We're able to service all types of players from young to old and all skill levels. And it's a lot of fun because you get to get back to basics with some of the little ones and some of the kids that are playing at lower levels. And then you get to ramp it up with some of the guys or the girls that are at an elite level. So, look, hockey is for everyone. We've figured that out here a long time ago, and it's my job to make sure everyone can get better.
Well, you do a great job of it, and again, we'll obviously touch on it later. But one of your former students will be coming to town, and I'm sure you'll have another proud dad moment as he's playing here at Scott Trade, and we'll talk more about that then. And again, I encourage everybody, make sure you check out Synergy Hockey. As so many fans that listen to this show, I'm sure your boys or girls are playing hockey, and again, if you're looking to improve your game, Synergy Hockey is where you want to do it. Thanks, Jamie. I guess we'll see you on Thursday in studio.
You got it, Chrome. Thanks for having me.
That is Jamie Rivers, and again, we're so fortunate to have him. And again, I highly encourage everybody to check out Synergy Hockey. It's a great opportunity for your young player to improve their game, whatever level they're at. And again, what I like the most about what he always says is, hey, listen, it doesn't matter what level you eventually wind up at. Right now, all your kid's concerned about is he wants to be the best player he can be, or she. So give him an opportunity. Check out Synergy Hockey. And again, thanks to Jamie Rivers, as always, calling in on Mondays and taking time out of his schedule. It's time now to go to the one that, as my co-host likes to say, who's not here and who's left me all alone today, but I'm not alone, so likes to say, is awesome at being awesome. It's time now for Angela Sharp to join us on the show and bring a little positive enlightenment to all of us. Angela, what's going on?
Wait, was everybody not being positive again?
No, there's nobody here, so I'm all by myself, and you know, and Gary,
oh, okay.
Gary, you know, and Gary likes to say sometimes I can be negative, which I can. I don't really have anything to be negative about. That's actually Jamie just got off the air. We were just talking about that. Don't know what to be negative. There's like he hasn't done a Jamie's Piss segment in a while, and the fans are not happy about it. But like he said, I can't fake it. What do you want me to do? So, really,
Well, hey, I got something to give him. So after the game on Saturday, I went out with some friends, and I ran into a guy. His name is Joe, and Joe told me that he listens to the podcast all the time, and he wanted me to tell Jamie that he loves him, but he's an idiot.
Oh.
So next time you can tell Jamie that, and that'll make him pissed off.
Well, Jamie might be giving you a call and maybe wanting to meet Joe for a cocktail.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking Jamie might want to meet Joe face to face on this one.
Well, we'll let Jamie handle that if that's where he thinks he needs to take it. But hey, listen, Jamie will tell you all fans are entitled to their opinion, even if it's wrong. It's not an issue. But wanted to catch up with you here. We had a couple of home games, which is always your favorite time of year when we get some home games and get some action going. Had a little bit of a hiccup Thursday night. I wasn't there, but watched the game on TV. Fans described it as an uninspired performance. It seemed that way through the TV. Was it a little lifeless at the building Thursday?
Yeah, it really was. It was the Blues playing down to the level of their opponent, which we've seen in years past, but hopefully we won't see again. I mean, you can't be too angry.
Well, again, like we said earlier, we're not getting any Jamie's Piss segments because they've been pretty
right.
darn good. So it's hard to really
right.
freak out.
What are we, 11-3-1 or something? So,
yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty doggone good start to a season, especially considering a lot of those first set of games were away.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? So we get the home game, right? And you think, okay, we got Philadelphia coming to town. They haven't been that great. Boy, we really hosed them in the Braden Schenn deal for
Laterra. Exactly.
We're gonna stick it all the way in here and send them packing, and then not so much. So I think that played just an opinion, but I think that played a little bit into it as well.
Oh, for sure. But that one, that game was just that was exactly what it was. It was kind of like it wasn't that interesting to watch, even there.
Not interesting to watch. Well, and the thing is, I don't know, you know, for most fans, but I think we expect them to win every game at home. It's not going to happen. I asked Jamie about the trap game type thing. You know, sometimes it just seems to me like maybe professional players look past games. And again, maybe I'm wrong, and I could be. But this seemed like a game that's what happened. And again, I don't know that I have any scientific data to back my stories up, but I'm going to go with it anyway.
And I'm sure you're not going to get a player to admit it either.
No, never.
I mean, I do think that was one of the ones where we played down because we didn't think we had to play super great against them.
So
we were wrong.
Fans still enjoying the new experience down at Scott Trade?
They're going to have to tell me. I don't know if they're enjoying it or not. I mean, the Jumbotron, Ava, is huge and a good way to watch the game. I actually was talking to some people just this Saturday at the game who I hadn't met before, but I sat down to interview them for something, and I was talking to them, and they're like, I'm having a hard time watching the play on ice because Ava is so big and bright that's what draws their attention. So they catch themselves watching the game on the Jumbotron as opposed to actually watching the live play that's happening just a little bit below that on the ice.
That happened. I've always done that for a variety of reasons, and none of them are good because, you know, you go to the game to watch the darn game, but you catch yourself watching the game up top because, you know, it follows the play from the different angle. But, you know, to be honest, I'm impressed with some of the stuff. We did see some, and again, I don't know what the hell this really means, but we saw some leaked renderings, I guess, of what we're possibly looking at here for a new named arena, Enterprise Arena, if that is true. I mean, I guess we don't know for sure, but
I don't even know anything for sure.
Well, come on now. We count on you to know these things. Now,
I know you count on me to know this, but I think you guys are misinformed. I get the information very last minute.
Well, we would think they'd let you know, for Pete's sakes.
Gosh, you would think, but no.
You know, and again, I saw some drawings, and I don't know about you, but that beer garden out front, that's got my name written all over it.
Yeah, a lot of people are excited. I've heard talks of the beer garden for a little while now. Again, we don't know how true or possible or any of that stuff it is, but I've heard talks about that for a little while now, and I feel like a lot of people will be very excited about that, and then we'll give fans a place to go, like, pregame.
Well,
because there's not really anything close to the sky. Like, there's nothing really within walking distance unless it's super warm outside to the Scott Trade Center where you can, like, sit down and have a drink or two.
You got to pregame, right? I mean, you've got to pregame.
Well, I mean, this is what people keep telling me. You guys forget. It's been such a long time since I've been able to go to a hockey game at home when I'm not working. So I couldn't drink the last time that happened. But when I go to games outside of the arena, you know, we like to go hang out and mingle at the bars nearby, but usually if I go see a game outside the arena, it's in Nashville, and in Nashville, it's one of those situations where all the bars are right there in a line for you to hit from your hotel to the rink.
Well, we know it's
we
a labor of
that.
Love. It's a labor of love for you, though, so I know you're not complaining.
I'm only sober, so no, I'm not ever complaining.
We talked a little bit with Jamie. Are you as shocked as anybody? And I'm not shocked. That's a bad word. But are you as impressed with this defense as most of us are? I mean, it's amazing.
You know, Bartuzzo and Dunn have a really strong pairing, which is surprising to me, and I'll admit it. I wasn't necessarily a huge Bartuzzo fan the last couple years. But, you know, pairing him with Dunn, it seems to work. I actually interviewed Vince Dunn after the game on Saturday. We had a Bud Light post-game party. Heads up, we have a few of those throughout the year. The next one is, I think, January 20th. So after the game, any fan who is in attendance who has a ticket can come up to the Bud Light bar area, and we raffle off some cool Bud Light prizes and usually has a player appearance. Well, he was the player who appeared. He signed some autographs, met some of the fans, and I interviewed him before that, and he said that Robert has really been helping him out, being very loud, being very vocal on the ice, and kind of like really helped guiding him to the kind of player he needs to and wants to be, which is kind of a cool thing to hear from a younger, you know, a rookie player coming up, that, you know, he's kind of learning the way from another more experienced player, which is, I always think that's kind of neat.
For sure, and I'm with you on that. I'm like, you know, I love the fact that, you know, they've got him paired with a veteran, more of a veteran, I guess, if that's the term you want to use, a defenseman that, you know, plays more of a physical role as well and gives him the freedom to do some of the things that he does. But, you know, we've talked about it at length on the show here. I mean, he sure seems to be awful comfortable out there for a young guy, but the highlight reel goal from Petrangelo the other night. Edmondson's already got a career high in goals, and we're how many games into the season? It's been impressive to watch.
Right. I mean, I think Joel kind of tipped us off that was possible during playoffs last year.
Sure.
So I think he kind of tipped us off that, you know, he has the potential to do that. I'm just excited that it's happening so early in the season for him. And again, you know, everybody's been talking about Petro and how he's, you know, been doing an awesome job leading the team and then leading in goals for a little while. So that's great. I mean, that's what we needed after we lost Chattenkirk, is we needed somebody to really step up and take that offensive, defensive player side. And I think he's done that really quite well.
I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, I'd love to hear your thought on this before we let you go. Man, I don't mean this in a bad way, but you're the first person I've heard bring up Chattenkirk. I mean, it's almost like everybody, the sky was falling, you know, like we weren't going to have this offensive defenseman that ran our power play. And they've played so well that we haven't even talked about doing all this without him being back there. So that's actually a good thing. I feel kind of bad because I think we all like Shatty.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I think that's one of the reasons I always remember that he's gone, is he's one of the people I got paired with in, like, community events, and he was always so good with kids and blah, blah, blah. You've heard me say that 1,000 times. I'm not going to repeat myself. But I think that's why I noticed it, but you're right. Everybody was like, oh, my gosh, we're going to lose him. The sky is falling. It's the end of the world. We should all just quit. But the team has really picked up. Petro in particular picked up a lot of those minutes and running all that, and they've done so well in it that nobody has really brought up the fact that we're missing Kevin. So, I mean, it's sad for Kevin, but it's great for our team, and that's really all we care about right now. And, you know, like you said, there's not much to complain about, which is great. I mean, you really have to start looking for things to complain about when the team is playing so well.
Well, that is true. Lots of fans out there want to know where they can follow you. You want to share it with us before we let you roll?
Of course, you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all those good things. It's just my name, Angela Sharp. Angela has 2 L's. Sharp has an E at the end of it. And for all my country music-loving fans, on Wednesday night during the CMA Awards, you can play Fine Where's Angela, because I'm going down there for those awards. So,
play that Where's game. Angela?
Find me.
I love it. I love
once
it.
Once in a while, I luck out with a good seat. Like, I think 2 years ago, I sat front row center for a little while. So you never know where I end up.
That is good stuff. Well, Angela, we appreciate you being a part of the show. I know our fans look forward to it every week. And send us out of here like you always do.
Oh, you know what? Thanks for having me, guys. Let's go Blues.
That's Angela Sharp. You guys look forward to her joining us every Monday and hearing her take on our St. Louis Blues and occasionally filling us in from time to time on what's going on down there at Scott Trade with the crew. But you know, she brought up Kevin Chattenkirk, and it was the first time I thought about it, is that we really haven't talked about missing that guy back there on defense, and it truly is because we've just played really, really well. And, you know, that was a concern, but it's not a concern right now. So great stuff, as always, from Angela. Great insight. We do appreciate her and her support. And, again, I know you guys really look forward to her being on the show. It's time now for us to go to live from Minner Arena. A good friend, Dennis Minner, does a great job. He's really enjoying doing this, and I'm hearing him on KMOX. This guy's becoming quite the celebrity around town. Let's hear what Dennis has got for us this week.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Can't wait to see you guys real soon, coming over to Minner Arena and doing one of the Thursday shows. Looking forward to it. So, hey, this is Dennis Minner live in Minner Arena. Check me out on Instagram, Facebook, and especially on Twitter, @MinnerArena, M-I-N-N-E-R Arena. So, hey, real quick, I cannot believe how incredible this team is doing. Again, I know it's early in the season, but here we are. We're top in the division, one of the top teams in the NHL. We continue to just bank more points to use later down the road if we do have any of those falls. But let's talk about a couple things. Let's talk about the Flyers game. We literally lost by inches. Game we just should not have lost. Tarasenko had a shot where he had enough time to set up where I think I ran out, grabbed another beer, went to the bathroom, came back in. He was still setting up the shot and then missed it. But that's it. You know, it's done. It's over with. We lost. LeTerrible was back. They did not have a tribute video for him. Was very happy we didn't see that. But let's look at Saturday. Saturday night, absolutely incredible. A 10-goal game, 6 goals from the Blues. Let's mention 3 of those were from our defense. I had both of my daughters at that game, and they had a blast. It was so much fun. Why is the team so good? I heard Cam Jansen mention he was talking about the roles. Know your role, then accept your role. Absolutely what this team is doing. We're getting goals from every single line. We're getting incredible amount of offense from our defense. Yo already has taken charge of this ship and has it working as a well-oiled machine. So, hey, question of the week this week comes from Jason Kaiser. Dennis, what are your thoughts on the rule changes, and has it had a positive, negative effect on the game? So let's look real quick. Face-off penalty, slash penalty, and challenge penalty from a fan's perspective. Basically, this was done in order to eliminate the encroachment by the centerman with the face-off penalty. And look, as a fan, there's nothing more annoying than watching 3 different players being restarted and reshifted in for a split-second face-off. The guys were encroaching. They were cheating. The players now have to square off. Defending team has to put their stick down first. Saturday night, Brodziak challenged the refs on the Leafs not squaring up. That led to the refs watching the faceoff closely, called a penalty on the second delay, which led to a rare Blues power play goal. But I thought it was a great veteran move by Brodziak. Definitely in favor of this change. I think it speeds the game up. It makes it fair and just gives a better flow to the game. We don't want us, you know, hockey turning into baseball. Slash penalty is another new one. Basically, this was revised because of a couple injuries last year. One of the big ones, was the injury Crosby caused on Methot. Slashed the dude so hard it almost severed his finger completely off. Don't believe me? Look up that name, Methot and Crosby slash, and just to be ready if you have a weak stomach. But here was the problem. There were so many slash calls during the preseason that the games I was at and watched, it was ridiculous. I mean, they were calling it nonstop. They were basically calling every single tap to a, you know, from a stick on someone's upper body. I'm glad to really see that the NHL stepped in and told the refs to actually back off on that, quite a bit. The most prominent rule change involves the use of the coach's challenge on an offside play. Basically, if a coach challenges a goal that is not deemed offside, the challenging team will be penalized. I love this. I was tired as a fan seeing coaches holding on to their challenge, using it basically as a free timeout. It was getting excessive. Seeing it on every single game, I thought, was just ridiculous. So great job, NHL, on this one. And real quick, my pet peeve of the week. Here it is. Why in the world are there hardly any fountain sodas available at the Scott Trade Center? Anyone else notice that? Anytime you ask them why there are only regular 20-ounce sodas, no one seems to know at the concession stand. I don't know why, but it's driving me crazy, and it's my pet peeve of the week. So, hey, take a shoot me a message on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Minner Arena, and let me know what you think of my segment. And if you have any questions, also shoot me those. So, see you guys next week, and let's go Blues!
Great stuff as always from Dennis. We do appreciate him and his live from Minner Arena. It's a fun little thing that we're doing with him this year. He's a great guy. We loved doing the show from there last year, and just thought, you know, he'd be a great guy to have involved in the show. He's such a big fan and again, just appreciate everything he does. And I know that we're all looking forward to heading back over there this year to do our show again. Time now to go to the St. Louis Game Time Report. You guys know the wonderful paper that you can get out in front. I like to call it a rag, is in Gary's right. That's what it feels like. It just feels old school. You get it out in front of the Scott Trade before games. You can find them at various locations right around the Scott Trade Center. Or you can subscribe so you can check them out. And I'm sure Brad will let you know where you can do that at. And it's in your inbox. So like on game day and usually in the morning or sometimes in the early afternoon, I'll get it. I can read it and have it ready to go. A lot of people like to print it out, take it with them. Or, you know, if you don't subscribe, like I said, you can pick it up. It's a must-have read. It gives you a different look, a different opinion on some things, great insight. A lot of things that make you ask some questions and make you kind of pause and think. That's why I enjoy it, and it's done by fans for fans. That's why I really, really do like it. So let's go now to Brad Lee for his St. Louis Game Time Report.
Hi, this is Brad Lee with the St. Louis Game Time segment of the podcast. Please excuse my voice as I'm kind of recovering from a cold, so my voice usually isn't this deep or scratchy, so bear with me. I'll try to keep it on the short side, but I think I have a few things to talk about with the Blues right now. Big win on Saturday night over the Maple Leafs. A rebound after not playing their best game. I mean, I think they played okay against Philadelphia last week. Obviously, a 2-0 loss, one of them an empty net. They were pushing the play, though. And I think the biggest part of it is it's been a while since we've really haven't seen a good effort from the Blues, even in that 2-0 loss to Philadelphia. I think the Blues were pressing. They had chances. They weren't executing, which is one thing. But it's not like they came out in a daze or really were slow on their skates or really didn't push the pace of play and try to play their game. They did. Philadelphia got a lead on a fluke goal. Allen was interfered by a defenseman pushing in a Flyers forward into him. The puck kind of just saw the upper corner of the net. Not much they could do on that one. They just couldn't get the equalizer. And then the empty netter at the end of the game iced it. I don't really think you can say that there's something they should have done radically different in that game other than, execute. Vladimir Tarasenko did not have a good shooting night. He was missing high and wide. He was looking like Brad Boys. But they had their chances. They were creating offense. The coolest thing, though, about Saturday night against the Leafs was really seeing them match a young, quick, fast team and take it to them. I think the Blues, played their style, but they also saw some more open ice. They gave up a little bit of open ice because they allowed Toronto to get back in it a little bit. But, scoring six goals and really watching that Shen, Schwartz, Tarasenko line click is fun. I said on Twitter, on the St. Louis Game Time Twitter, the secret to the Blue success in the last couple playoffs has been depth scoring. But it is really fun to watch a line just click and have a good scoring chance and be a threat every single shift on the ice. And that's what it was on Saturday night against Toronto. Those three guys out there moving the puck, finding open space, moving their feet. I think it's a testament that, and I've kind of had the theory before, that guys like Jaden Schwartz, his two best attributes are his hockey IQ, because he makes good decisions with the puck. He understands the game. He understands the flow. He can see a play or two ahead and can kind of predict what's going to happen a lot of times because he knows the game and is so smart. That's the first part. The second part is the guy just never gives up. He's always skating, moving his feet. He's a high engine guy, a high motor guy. And his compete level, if we're going to throw out more cliches, is really high. So he's always digging the puck out. He's always putting pressure. He's always skating into the corner. And he's not afraid to go to the net. And that rubs off on the players he's playing with. And I saw an interview with him on KSDK on Sunday night where he said that it's just been fun playing with Braden Schenn and that they've really fed off each other. I think Braden Schenn has taken his game to another level and has found maybe some of the intensity he might have lacked in Philadelphia, where he was criticized as being a little bit slow and that they had to move him to the wing. And now he's back at center again. And I got to tell you, just on his Blues resume, I don't see how you couldn't play him at center in Philadelphia. So I think the change of scenery, but playing with Schwartz, I think the two of them are feeding off each other. And then that's just creating so much more space with Tarasenko, where you can't just camp out two guys on Tarasenko and say, you know what, his center, Yuri Laterra, we don't have to worry about him as much. We can give him more space because he's not going to do anything with the puck. Hell no, you can't do that anymore. So, you might say that putting all your eggs in one basket is dangerous and that your three most dangerous offensive players should maybe be spread up and down the lineup a little bit. But the way they're clicking, man, don't touch them. You found gold. It's clicking. And until something bad happens or, something doesn't click or teams have figured out how to play them better, man, I just don't see them slowing down. And that only creates more opportunity for other parts of the lineup as well, because, then there's so much emphasis on stopping that one line that maybe they get a little bit more breathing room on the other, the second line, the third line, the fourth line, whatever. It would be nice to get that third line settled down into a regular three-man unit. They had Ivan Barbashev up. He's in Chicago now. Sammy Blay, he was on the line for a while. He's down in the minors. The play of Dmitry Yaskin has been better of late, but he's been mainly playing with fourth line guys. So it'd be really nice if a couple guys could kind of gel in that third line. And maybe it takes getting a Patrick Berglund back for that to happen. He's probably, hopefully, my hope is that he will come back on the wing, because I don't think he has the foot speed to play center defensively. But you put him on the wing, maybe you get Sundqvist a little bit better acclimated and get a little more comfortable to line up and stick him at center. Maybe Barbashev could come back at some point. And then see what happens with that line, Magnus Pajärvi, or if you want to switch some guys and maybe bring Sobotka down for a little while. They need more scoring from that third line. They've been getting it a little bit. They've been more dangerous. We'll see what happens over the next week or so. The Blues have a one-game road trip to New Jersey. They go all the way out to New Jersey and then come back and play Thursday, Saturday in St. Louis. Stupid NHL schedulers. But this is part of that seven home games and nine games total stretch, where this is the second road game, and then they come back for a couple more home games. So lots of excitement at Scottrade. They're not undefeated now at home, but you know what? That wasn't gonna keep going. I mean, I think the Flyers might have been a little bit of a trap game in that, a lot of guys with ties to Toronto and knowing that Hockey Night in Canada was going to be in town on Saturday might have been tempting. They had the day off before the Philadelphia game, and it'll be interesting to see if Mike Yeo does that again, where he rewards the guys and says, hey, we've got a really nice lead in the standings. Let's take a day off on the day before a game. I don't know if that's going to happen much anymore. We'll see. So I think there's some reasons for what happened with Philadelphia. Nice rebound game against a dangerous Toronto team that can score a bunch of goals because they play so wide open and fast. So now go to New Jersey, who's been feisty. And then more non-division games. They don't play a division game until Nashville the day after Thanksgiving, coming up on Black Friday later in the month. So more games where you could take some chances and, maybe go to overtime and then let it all loose during overtime, because you don't have to worry about giving ground in the division. It'll be interesting to see how long the Blues can hold on to first place and keep a little bit of a gap between themselves and second or third place. Because you know what? It would be nice to get comfortable and really to not feel the pressure of fighting every night for points. I mean, yeah, it's important to get points every night, but it's better to be confident and playing well than knowing you have very little margin of error and that you really have to scrap and claw for those points, because that gets tiring. And really, I think that's been kind of issues down the stretch a couple years, especially playing under Ken Hitchcock, where he would just scrap and claw for those points and they'd be worn out by the playoffs, honestly. So, hey, wouldn't it be nice if they were in a really nice position for a long time and could rest every once in a while and not feel like they were exhausted at the beginning of the playoffs. I know it's the early November. It's early, you know. I need to calm down a little bit. Slow down a little bit, Brad. But I mean, there's not a lot to complain about. It's awesome. You know, you wonder, Patrick Berglund comes back, Jay Bomeister, what they're going to do with the lineup. If that's the majority of our concerns with the Blues right now, I think everything's really, really going pretty well. So let's see if they can keep it going. Some interesting games coming up, so we'll see what happens. So like I said, I'm Brad Lee with St. Louis Game Time. We're the fan-run paper that we sell outside every Blues home game, northeast corner of 14th and Clark, outside the garage driveway and outside the 14th Street doors. You can find us on Twitter at St. Louis Game Time or stlouisgametime.com. By the fans, for the fans. There's been a fan-run paper sold outside every Blues home game since January of 1995 when they opened the Scott Trade Center. I mean the Savage Center. I mean Kiel Center. You know, whatever name has been on the building, there have been fans outside selling a publication for people to take inside and really have a good look at the game and have rosters and stats and everything. So check us out if you haven't. We appreciate you listening. And back to you guys.
Great stuff. Really, really appreciate Brad and his St. Louis Game Time report. You know, just feel like we got a great crew here as far as everybody and their contributions on this show. Really appreciate everybody and their participation. You know, especially the Monday edition, as we just try to really make it a fan experience and bring in more people to share their thoughts and kind of, you know, get people talking about Blues hockey. It's not a hard thing to do right now. They're definitely one of the best teams in the league. Their record shows it, and their play shows it on the ice too as well. Hopefully the defense can keep this up, and you know, with the play of Schwartz and of course Tarasenko and, you know, the trade for Shen. I mean, it's all kind of coming together for him. The play of Jake Allen, I'm encouraged. And again, I don't want to put the cart before the horse. I know we've joked around a little bit about Stanley Cup parades and things like that, but let's be realistic here. It's a long journey. It's definitely a marathon, not a sprint. But I like the way this team's constructed. I could see you know, this being the type of team that is worthy of a move down the road to say, hey, you know what, this is our year. This is the year maybe we do go all in and get a player like you've seen other teams do at the trade deadline. So we'll see. I don't know. Like I said, I'm encouraged, and obviously Mike Yeo is a big part of it, and I'm sure we'll talk more about that on Thursday when the fellas are here. So appreciate you guys joining us as you do each week. Special thanks again to Angela Sharp, Brad Lee, and Dennis Minner for their contributions to the show. Thank you to Jamie Rivers for calling in. Can't express how much we appreciate him. Don't forget to check out all of our Facebook partners, Arch City Sports, St. Louis Blues Hockey Memes, St. Louis Blues Fans Nation, St. Louis Blues Fans Unite, all the other great Facebook pages out there that allow us to share our stuff on there. We cannot thank you enough. Check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. Follow us on our social media sites at NHL Show, at STL Blues Podcast. Hit us up on Facebook, Blues NHL Podcast, and on Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast Show. Love for you guys to be a part of it. Special thanks again to lineupmedia.fm for all they do for the show. Fastest growing podcast company on the planet. Check them out. Your entertainment time is taken very seriously there. I know you'll find something else you'll enjoy. For all the guys here at Blues NHL Podcast, let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.